Okay, here we go. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Wyoming. Today is Thursday, June 6, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 23, reading the fourth paragraph only. And today's readers are Polly Q, Lorraine N, and Yvonne A. The reference number for June 5th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Meeting is 21,465. The share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Meeting, is 21,467. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Jan S. to read the 12 steps, please.
Yes, hello to all. These are our 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such persons wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Jan S. And now Deb E. is going to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, fellas. This is Deb E. in Montana, and these are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Debbie. We appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone in order to have a quiet meeting. And everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 23, and we're reading the fourth paragraph, one paragraph only. And I will now ask Polly Q to begin our reading. Star one, Polly.
Can I be heard, moderator?
Yes, you can.
Oh, thank you. Hi, this is Polly Q, recovered in Northern California. The tragic truth is that if the man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. He has lost control. At a certain point in the drinking of every alcoholic, he passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. This tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it is suspected. When I came in to OA, I had already worked the 12 steps in Al-Anon. I believed in them completely. It was the fourth step in that program that allowed me to go, that allowed me to think that maybe I had an addiction. I was 34 years old. I was probably at that point, at least I would say 250 pounds. But I always thought of it as a diet problem, you know, but I kept losing control. And then I think I was born a food addict, or it became one shortly after I was born. And I around age 10 started piling on the weight. But, you know, I dieted, right? I went to Weight Watchers, dieted. I would lose it for a little while. Then I would gain it back, and I would gain more. And then I would go on Weight Watchers again, and then I would try it again. I would lose it. I would get close to what Weight Watchers thought was my goal weight, within 10, 15 pounds, and I would gain it back and more. By age 20, I was easily 100 pounds overweight. And then... You know, I would kick it in and diet every couple of years, and then I would gain that weight back and then more. And that's how it happened, you know, until finally the most powerful desire to lose that weight, which would require me to stop eating compulsively, was of absolutely no avail. When I came into OA, as I said, I was probably, yeah, I would say 275 pounds. I worked the steps, and I did not work the steps, actually. I just kind of hung out in the room for a little while. But I couldn't stay. I would just try to, you know, diet with OA, and that did not work. Then I went into HOW, which is the 12 steps. You know, it's just another variation. I worked the steps really well with a super good sponsor, with conference-approved literature. It wasn't with the big book. Well, it was initially with the big book. Yes, it was. And we worked it really, really with meaning in the big book. Every day we would read. We had to read a paragraph. We went through a third-step ceremony. And something happened to me that I didn't realize until I came into Vision 7 years ago. I had neutrality around the food. And for a while, that worked. Because I did the steps. I was involved. I was passionate about it. And then I started to put that. And I lost 100 pounds. And then I stayed a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so you can see that it did not work. It just got worse. That'll pass.
Thanks, Polly, for getting us started. And now I'm going to take a lineup of names. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. And that means that if you've shared Tuesday or Wednesday on any of our three Vision for You meetings, we ask that you hold off until tomorrow. So please give me your name. I'll write down a list.
Mary Ellen T.
Mary
Elena C.
Elena C.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Sherry Z.
Oh, Sherry Z. In the house.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi. I have four so far. Anybody else want to jump in on this lineup? Going once, going twice. Okay, let's start with these four. Mary Ellen T., you're up. Please tell us where you're from.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen. T is in Tango, and I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I live in Oregon. And I wanted to share on this paragraph because I had a relapse recently, and well, in fact, I've struggled with a lot of relapses because I've struggled with really taking a complete first step, and you know, my attitude since I've come into program is, gosh, I really identify a lot with what you guys are saying, and why can't I control my food? But oftentimes I had this sort of attitude of, I don't have as bad as you guys do, so I don't know that I need to be doing as much as what you guys are suggesting. And that kind of has been the precursor of a piecemeal step one experience that I've had for the past 5 years since I've been in Big Book Recovery, dedicating my life and my recovery following, as you guys are taking us through the big book and teaching us the principles of it. And, you know, one of the things that I really have come to have a healthy respect is that my disease has grown immensely. I think perhaps when I came into program, I might have been the moderate or hard alcoholic, but after this last relapse, I'm the full meal deal. I'm the true alcoholic, compulsive overeater, and I really am insane when it comes to food because, you know, I thought I was going to leave program. I was tired of the relapses, and, you know, I felt like I really needed to understand just exactly how powerless I was because I had that inkling that I wasn't taking that first step and surrendering as much as I should. And so I got to this place of recognizing that, you know, I was missing my relationship with my higher power so much more than I was enjoying being in food, that was the recognition that I was ready to come back come back to program, and I knew it was going to be hard, and I asked God for help, and it has been really hard these past couple of weeks. And along the way, I've seen that even in my step one process, I'm lying to myself. I'm able to see the insanity of, you know, that I might weigh in measuring my food, but the honesty behind it is I'm not following it to a T. And so thinking that I can still try to control the food. And I've never really understood that phrase until I saw that, you know, I'm still allowing a half ounce extra of rice to be over because I don't want to throw that rice away. We're still trying to experiment around with olives, even though olives were something that I was continually starting to go to the refrigerator for. Thank you so much. And so I'm insane, and I've lost that power to be able to control. And that's the tragic truth. So I need you guys. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Mary Ellen. I'm insane also. Okay, Elena C. is up next. I think it's Greenville. Is it South Carolina, Elena C.?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So my name is Elena C., recovered in South Carolina. And I remember that as my disease progressed, it wasn't that powerful at first, but after in my 30s, it just got worse and worse and worse. And as the disease got worse and worse, you know, my relationship with my higher power got further away. And even if I had my Al-Anon program and I had a so-called relationship with my higher power, but I was plateauing because I had to work on other traits of my personality. And, you know, it's not necessarily that I lost control over food, which I did, but I lost control over myself. You know, addiction comes with a distorted personality where I couldn't control my emotions. And, you know, the happy day I was hoping to arrive. He had a happy day via dieting. The happy day has arrived after I lost a lot of weight, some weight, but didn't last because, you know, I was still ingesting my triggering foods through diet, but I was happy for a while, you know, and I had to understand, I had to come here to understand that I could not put any triggering food in my body because the happy day will never arrive. But I can totally be content on a most permanent basis about who I am, you know, not necessarily that I have a certain body weight, but that I have a certain personality that is, you know, in alignment with the universe and with the will of my higher power. I can lose control over myself. And I then have to turn it over to a power greater than myself that can control me, you know, and I'm only a passenger and God is the driver. And then the most in that state, I can say that I don't have a desire to pick up food. And, you know, this tragic, and so there's no tragic situation, and I need to wake up every day and cater into that energy of my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Elena C. And now we have Jody E. from Monterey, California. Go ahead, Jody E. Good morning.
Good morning, Sherry M. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater today. So, yes, me too. I, too, am insane when it comes to my alcoholic foods, and once I start eating them, then I lose control. I lose control, and all I think about is those alcoholic foods, and I want more. And how am I going to get them? And how am I going to get time alone to eat them so no one can see me eating compulsively? And my life, as a result of that, becomes totally unmanageable. So how, you may be wondering if you're new and you're not yet abstinent, how do I get abstinent? Because I'm one of these people and I have no control. I have no choice in the matter here. So how am I supposed to get abstinent? Well, that's where the program comes in. Together we can do what we cannot do alone. So if you get a sponsor and you pray for the willingness to put down your alcoholic foods, you too will be given the miracle of control, of abstinence. We are powerless over food, but we're not helpless. We can reach out for help. And it's in reaching out for help to my higher power and to other people in the program that I get given this power that is not of me. It's not my power. And I have to remember that. I'm abstinent today by the grace of God, not by my own grace. No, no. I'm a real compulsive overeater. And it's only by the grace of God and the program that I'm abstinent today. So join us, because we are here because of our powerlessness, not because of our strength. So the strength that you hear is the strength of God, however you understand that. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Jody E. Next up is Sherry Z. from Los Angeles, California, I believe, today. And after that, I'm going to announce where we are in the book and take another lineup. So go ahead, Sherry Z.
Thank you, Sherry M. I'm Sherry V, recovered in Southern California, and good morning, all the visionaries. We're on page 23 at the bottom of the page. So what I notice about this paragraph is that tragic is used twice, tragic truth and the tragic situation. And I think what Bill is saying to me, because I'm always looking to see myself in the book, is there's a moment that's a reckoning. It's like, oh my God, I'm not like other people. I don't eat like other people. I can't use willpower. I can't just stay on a diet. And I'm just mentally and physically different. And that reckoning at first is tragic. I think that's what this paragraph is saying. Because when we feel, or when I feel that I'm not like others, there's a moment that's like, what's wrong with me? This is so painful. And I had that moment where it was like, no, 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 this is more than a physical disease. This is a mental disease. And I had to grieve that I had this difference. And then, which is going to be in the next paragraph, but I won't go there, is that then comes the hope. Then comes the solution. And that's the miracle today. I think of all the diseases that we don't have cures to, and all the diseases that there is no solution, and that the miracle of my disease is that there is a solution today, and it's with God in the steps. And every day that I apply the solution, I can reckon with the tragic reality and actually feel hope. And I do think the opposite of tragic is hope. And I think what these rooms do, and what coming here every morning, talking to my sponsor, all the things that I do, is it converts the tragic into hope. I'm just really grateful to be here, and I pass, and thank you, Sherry, for your service.
Thanks so much, Sherry Z. And now I'm going to let anyone that came in after we started know where we are. Like Sherry said, we're reading that first the last paragraph on page 23, which starts the tragic truth. We read one paragraph only, ending with every case long before it is suspected. And now I'd like to take another list, a lineup, and again, a gentle reminder that if you have shared in the past 2 days on any meeting, we ask that you hold off until tomorrow to give everyone a chance to be heard. Who would like to share?
Mo H.
I know we're going to go. We're just going a little later today because we're walking with a friend.
Sherry G. Mute yourself, Sherry. Mo
Veronica.
Mo H. And Veronica, okay. Is that Veronica B? Okay, Mo H, Veronica, I think it's B. We'll find out. Who else would like to be in this lineup?
Kara L.
Kara L. Kara L with a K. Okay.
Yvonne A. from BC,
Canada. Yes. Yvonne A. BC, Canada. All right. Okay. Well, it looks like we're going to do chunks of four today. So that's wonderful. Mo H., you are up.
Well, thank you, Sherry M., for your service and all those giving service today. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California. So I have written in my book, so the tragic truth is if this man be a real alcoholic, the happy day may not arrive. I did not know until I started studying this book the difference between, you know, a moderate and a hard and a real alcoholic until I started reading and studying this book. And I have written down on my page here, me, October 2015. And that's when I started, was introduced to the vision meeting and started studying the big book. I had been in the rooms for years. And it wasn't until I started studying the big book that I really started to get a real deep insight into my disease. And I also have written down from this page on, we are dealing with the real alcoholic and the need for a spiritual awakening. And yes, I've lost my control over my alcoholic foods, and I know that. I've tried experiment after experiment after experiment. Even a little bit of the alcoholic food that was allowed on my food plan never, ever, ever worked. So they are not bought, they are not brought into the house. And when I'm around them with other people, I have received the gift of neutrality due to the fact that I work this program every day of my life. And so, yeah, at a certain point in the drinking of every alcohol, he passes into the state where most powerful desire to stop drinking is absolutely no avail. And this, that's it. That's the end of the road. That's the bottom of the bucket, you know, the bottom of the barrel. I can't go on. And it's not me doing it alone. It's me with the help of my higher power, whom I call God. And it's me with all of you, you know, that prayer, I put my hand in yours and together we can do what we could never do alone. That's what dieting was for me, alone. I did that alone. This anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous group is a together group. We do it together. And one thing that really touched me when I first came into the rooms is that there was no shame involved in my compulsive food behaviors or even my body size. And I was very, very grateful that people just welcomed me and they understood me. I was never understood by my mom at all. And I wish I knew about this disease when she was alive. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mo. Veronica, you're up next.
Hi, good morning. This is Veronica B. in California, recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you so much, Sherry, for your service. Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to chime in and claim my seat. You know, I had to just confirm and look up no avail. And it says, of no use or advantage, ineffective. So that means it doesn't work. Not effective. And for me, I feel like I was born a compulsive eater because at a very young age, I remember using food for an effect, using food to feel better. For some reason, I just felt like a weird kid, and food just kind of made me feel better. And as a result, I was overweight. And I lived like that until I got in high school, and I my mom got me diet pills, and I lost all the weight. I lost 40 pounds, and I thought I had arrived. And when I went back to the doctors, he didn't give me any more pills, and I was devastated. Like, how was I going to maintain this weight loss? I thought it was about maintaining my weight loss because this is what made me feel good, so I thought. But really what it was is I had this inner spiritual malady. Like, I felt so disconnected from you and God that I needed food. I needed food to feel connected to myself. And I lived like that for many years until I discovered bulimia and until I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in 2009. I was so uncomfortable with myself that I would use food to soothe me. It's because I had no connection with the higher power. That's why I felt uncomfortable. And like, I felt like bad taking up breath, you know, taking up your air. And until I worked these steps and I got a relationship of my very own, of a God of my understanding, who today I rely on. And, you know, there's days where I do feel disconnected, and that's where I have to dig deeper, lean in more into program. And because I, you know, I wake up every day uncovered, unrecovered, and so I have to, you know, take spiritual actions to get me back on this path and help me stay connected. And the more I do for others, like, the better I feel internally, you know, because for me, this is like a self-loathing thing. And but when I'm doing for others, it's really is what helps me connect with God and myself. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Veronica. And next up is Kara L. from California. Go ahead, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Well, you know, the identity in this paragraph, you know, reminds me of just how low I felt and how hard it was before recovery. You know, when I realized that I had lost, you know, all control. And before, you know, when I was younger, I used to be able to diet, take off the weight, and, you know, for an event or something, I would get all the accolades, of course, and then I would slowly put it on. And then I passed into the state where the most powerful desire to stop eating was absolutely no avail. And I spent days going to bed with a firm resolution that I would not compulsively eat the next day. And then I would wake up, I would have a diet breakfast, and I would continue to compulsively eat the rest of the day until I got to that disillusionment at the end of the day and disheartened, and I made that firm resolution again because I had been able to do it. And I thought every night I had hope that the next morning would dawn a new day when I could control my food. Oh, it was so hard. And today, you know, working these steps, today knowing that what I thought the answer was control. But today I know the answer is a power greater than myself, because I know I'm beyond the ability to control. The more I try to control, the more difficult and complex it gets. The more I work on having a relationship with a power greater than myself and reaching out to that power for every single thing in my day. What do you think about this? And give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision about this. The less I know and the less in control I am, the more recovery finds me. And I did have to take out those foods that were my alcoholic foods. And today I'm blessed with food neutrality. I'm blessed with the gift of saying, I don't know higher power. Please give me intuitive thought, inspiration, and decision. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Kara L. from California. Next, we have Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Go ahead, Yvonne A., and then I'll take another lineup.
Good morning, everybody. This is Yvonne A. in BC, Canada.
And I just wanted to also share on this because I too identify so strongly with this. I had the most powerful desire to stop compulsively overeating. And it was of absolutely no avail. I was never a good dieter. I was not able to drop weight. I would keep trying. I had, thousands of day ones, very few day twos, rarely a day three, of eating what I thought was in a controlled way. And so for me, I had no idea where it says this tragic situation has already arrived long before it's suspected. I had no idea that I had this disease of compulsive overeating. I thought I was like everybody else. I just thought I wasn't as good as everybody else who could diet and who could lose the weight. And so it was so demoralizing. It was tragic. There were mornings when I just wept and because I was out of bed, so full of hope, and 15 minutes later in tears on the floor because it was just another morning of failure. And then I came in the doors of Overeaters Anonymous. I got to read the doctor's opinion with a sponsor, and it changed my life. I realized or learned that I had this disease and that I was different from other people. The day was not going to come. I'm 62 years old. There's no future for me as a normal eater. I am forever and always going to be a compulsive overeater. And what the 12 steps, what the fellowship, and what my higher power have brought to my life have really been beyond my wildest dreams. I could not have ever imagined. I didn't even know food neutrality was a thing. I didn't know normal people had new food neutrality. I just thought they had really good willpower. And so this has all been such a blessing. I appreciate each and every one of you. And I just know that this is my path forward. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. And now I'm ready to take some more names. I think two or three people max with the time we have left. We'll see how it goes. Who would like to put their name in to share on this paragraph?
Mary B. in Michigan.
Mary B., Michigan. Okay, anyone else? Give it a second. Somebody to unmute.
Luann C., Boise, Idaho.
Okay, Luann C., my neighbor in Idaho. Okay, go ahead, Mary B. We'll see how we do. You're up.
Okay. What a wonderful paragraph for me to be reading today. And first of all, thank you all for your service. And I so identify with this. The tragic situation has already arrived in practically every case long before it is suspected. And I just triggered in me the thinking about the times that I just tried, and I mean years and years of trying to manage this, knowing probably, I mean, I spent years in OA and doing it like group support, diet club, and I had some success with that in terms of like the outer, in terms of my how I looked on the outside. But it didn't solve the inside problem related to being connected to other people, being connected to the higher power. And it only wasn't until this disease really, I just brought me to the point of no return, you know, of sitting there at 2 o'clock in the morning thinking about, like, this is just really the end. There's no other choice, but I had to finally admit, you know, that I was, I had to have abstinence. And for me, it was very difficult. Sugar and flour, finally, like no sweeteners, no sugar, no flour. So I struggled with that for years. And it's just a relief now. Like, I don't have to struggle anymore. I don't have to struggle. And as long as I stay connected, as long as I stay connected to the group, to my higher power, to my sponsor, I have a chance. I have a chance. But I have to do it every day. And this is the thing I need to remind myself, is that I need to do my practices every day, because it just, that's how it goes, you know. So I just wanted to get on here and claim my seat. And thanks, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Mary B. from Michigan. And now we have Luann C. from Idaho.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service. I'm Luann C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living the dream of recovery in Boise, Idaho. And what's coming to me is she passes into a state where the most powerful desire to stop drinking is of absolutely no avail. And I was thinking about, what is the state? And for me, the state that was going on in my life before recovery was, there was no air, there was no space between the craving and the action to support the craving. And after decades of doing this, it was so powerful. It was like a well-oiled engine inside me. And diets, you know, that was my hope, was I could go on a new diet. But those were like holding on to a toothpick in the middle of a tsunami for help. But what happened was that, you know, I finally had a good mental blank space. And that looked like I was out of ideas. I had no more ideas for a nanosecond. And I had been on my hands and knees before begging for help. But this time I had this mental blank space where God came in and pulled me through the eye of the needle so that I could follow directions. And now, whereas before the power of the disease was so strong and growing, now the power of this power greater than myself is growing so that I don't ever have to go back. And that's my hope. And that's my hope for the newcomers who are listening this morning. There definitely is a solution. And yeah, this really works. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. And we do have time for one more share today. Who would like to take us out?
Pamela C.
Okay, you're up. Go ahead. Tell us where you're from.
Pamela C. from California, Southern California, and I am very new to this program and overeater. And what a powerful meeting. I've been listening to you all for about a year and just got a sponsor about 6 weeks ago. And, you know, the reason I keep coming back is I just hear solution, solution, solution. And I did have abstinence from sugar for almost 30 days, which thank you to my higher power, because that, you know, definitely had nothing to do with me. And I had a relapse recently and shared that with my sponsor. But, you know, today is a new day. And, you know, just listening to you all this morning before work and before starting my day, it just really lifts my spirit. I know you know, with all the shares that everybody has, that, you know, where they came from and, you know, how they are recovering or have recovered, I have so much hope. And, you know, I really identified also with the, somebody that shared in the beginning about not taking this as seriously as I need to. And I knew that the entire time, like, you know, just kind of, you know, here's my food plan, but not sticking to it 100%, and not sharing that with my sponsor. And, you know, just carrying that lie with me throughout the day and knowing that this is not, you know, going to work long term until I can be completely honest with myself and with God. My sponsor, she's there to guide me, and I need somebody to keep me accountable because I can't do that for myself. I've tried all my life, and I just am not accountable to myself. So I just have hope, and thank you guys so much for just sharing the hope, and that relapse sometimes comes, you know, with this ism, this disease that I know I have, and I just, thank you for always just concentrating on, you know, passing it on to the next person and the solution. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pamela C. It was nice to hear from you today. Would somebody like to take us out with a one-minute share? Anybody want to jump in there for 1 minute, say hi, share on this paragraph?
This is Ann B.
Okay, go ahead. You got it.
Hey, I'm Ann B., normally from New York, traveling in Wisconsin, compulsive overeater. And I'm sorry I arrived late, but I just wanted to claim my seat and thank everybody for keeping this meeting going. Bye.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you so much. And so now we're going to close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. What a great meeting. Great shares. Awesome. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.